the cow dead yet?
Not so far. Well, the one
now,
I mine ate,
did that last night.
The one I ate was, but you know, that'll happen.
Typically is. So is the one I ate today.
Oh, what kind
well,
did you
eat? I prefer mine rare. So, kicking and screaming's better.
So, Ken, what kind of cow did you have today?
Steak.
Dead. Dead cow.
But what kind?
Sirloin.
I thought you weren't able to afford any more steak.
Tube steak.
I got a small steak.
Small tube steak. Your mom likes tube steak.
She died.
Plus that last steak I didn't have to buy myself anyway, so.
Oh, so it was tube steak.
No.
It was just after dinner.
Oh, believe me, you always pay for it.
You always pay for it in the end.
Three, 2, 1. And now it's time for another superhero time with your hosts XV.
XV head B.
Hey Mickey.
Just shove it in and keep pumping.
Paladin.
I looked at the trap, Ray.
Ken. JD Church.
It's time for poop.
And Fort Max.
Twitch. Ha ha.
It's Morgan time.
All right, it's time for special podcasting because it's superhero time. I'm XV.
And we do mean special.
Very special podcasting time. Derp. Well, what?
Derp.
Okay. Well, as
in
you
case,
can tell,
in case you didn't get the joke.
In case you didn't notice, JD's with us again this week.
Derp.
Pardon me while I note that down for intro quote purposes. Pretty good. Hey, Mickey
judges?
Is out with a terrible case of throat cancer, but we have Ken, Paladin, and Fort Max still.
Yo.
Lope. Yo.
Not necessarily in that order.
Results may vary.
Yes. So we've been talking for the last 45 minutes or so about BotCon, which is coming up in just a few days. This will be the last show of April because, heck, I won't be here to record next week. Woo!
Me neither. Yay. So, f*** y'all.
Sit and spin, motherfuckers!
I couldn't have said it better myself, Paladin. All right, so what's going on this week?
A lot of shit.
Well, that's nothing
yeah,
new.
But, you know, that, I mean, it's superhero time. Of course, that's what's going on.
How did you know?
Yeah.
Do you have a camera in my bathroom?
Hell no. There are some things we are not meant to see.
Do not pull back the veil.
I'd rather see XV's mother again.
All right. So, Paladin, give us the news.
Well, we got a close-up image of super imaginative Chogokin Tatoba today, and apparently Gata Kariba is next in the lineup, surprising nobody.
Yeah.
I'll assume they'll go in the same order as the show, then.
Could be.
Gata Kariba, La Torta, yeah.
Let's see, did Sigorzo came next? Did Shouta come
yes,
before
Sigorzo.
Or after Tajidoru?
Shouta came after.
Okay.
Like five
for
episodes
some reason.
Before Puto Terra, and then they forgot about it.
Right.
Along well, with most things when Puto Terra came in.
Well, Shouta was limited usefulness anyway. They had to be, like, you know, near water and everything.
Not really. He kind of created a tidal wave the week after the tsunami in an alleyway. So.
Hmm. I wonder.
Well, it got too expensive for him to tentacle rape the claw scorpion anymore.
Ah, no, here's that.
Sounds about right. So, yeah, I'm not really sure SIC suits O's.
No.
Or at least not the way they're doing it.
No.
Although, I'll stand by my assertion several weeks back that SIC Puto Terra could potentially look really awesome.
Yes.
But, I mean, that has, you know, precedent
now,
for
the
a beast
SIC Greed.
Yeah, SIC Greed would be pretty cool.
Yes.
And, you know, SIC Tatoba is like halfway there already.
Pretty much.
See, that should, instead of doing the combos, they should have every figure be able to be rebuilt into one of the greed that corresponds to that form.
Oh, well, no such luck.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that'd be much too cool, but that's what they should do, because, like I said, they're halfway there already.
But they won't. They'll still make you buy the Figgarts.
Well, they kind of have to make you buy them, because nobody wants them.
Yeah, because the O's Figgarts are,
kind of lousy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, O's in general didn't seem to be that popular with merchandising.
Except for the medals.
Except for the belt.
Well, even the belt was only for the first few months.
Yeah, but the medals still... Well, until the show ended, then all the medal prices just dropped like a rock.
Yeah.
Like, severely, I think, if I recall right.
So,
I liked the Combo Change series, and I might pick up Figuarts Ankh at some point.
Yeah, I do want complete Ankh just to put him beside Tatoba on my shelf along with Birth, and that'll be fine. But
maybe I should get Figuarts Ankh arm.
I have that. I have two. I have two of them.
Yeah, Ankh.
The retail one is Ankh. The one that came with Tatoba is Ankh.
Oh, okay. Well, either or. You know, as long as it's an arm with a stick up its ass, that's fine. Actually, that's not a bad intro quote either.
Really isn't.
So.
And also more figure arts news. The first run bonus for Deca Red is the giant handcuffs he final form rides into in
Akiba Ranger.
Yeah. Hmm. I guess that's fine.
The Deca Whopper.
But enough about your mother.
Ha! She's so big, she's a multiple of 10. No? Okay.
All right, back to O's and Figuarts again. This week, this week, the Hyper Hobby exclusive Tajaba combo was released.
And it hadn't come out yet? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Does anybody care about this?
Not anymore. Like you said,
O's Figuarts just didn't sell them.
No, that's Hawkhead, Peacock, and Grasshopper.
I think he used it in one episode, maybe?
Maybe.
One or two, probably.
I think it was like the first one with the Grasshopper.
You had the Grasshopper at the first episode.
Grasshopper Yummy.
Now I get you.
Yeah, Yummy. The one that was all babbling about justice and stuff.
That wasn't the first episode.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're even bothering releasing more O's Figuarts.
Or at least the combos. I mean...
Well, that's not the last one either. Proto Birth comes out next month, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of different-ish.
Because it's Date.
Well, yeah.
Is there an Afterbirth?
Not yet.
No, there already is. Didn't Mickey make that?
No, that was Birth.
That was Birth Origin.
That was first appearance.
Mm.
Afterbirth would have been shortly thereafter, but
followed quickly by Afterbirth.
You know,
it's delicious.
I wonder, why couldn't they put black and yellow hazard stripes on instead of just the stupid red stripes?
Again?
What do you mean?
Now, the question is, is it going to come with a couple of claw scorpion parts?
Probably not. It comes with the two that he could utilize. Because remember, he could only use two of them.
Are you still going to have to take the thing?
The same figure, so yeah, you're going to have to, probably.
Also, are the claws parts still going to be less painted than the combo
chain?
Well, that
was just on the Scorpion toy itself. It wasn't the parts that came with the figures, right?
No, the parts were pretty unpainted. Because, I mean, those are all part of the Scorpion. So, and I think from where...
But the Figuarts Claws Scorpion was a separate thing, wasn't it?
But it was also, and the Figuarts Claws Scorpion had less paint than the...
Right, no, I know that. I'm just talking about the accessories that came with the Figuarts Birth.
Oh, Figuarts Birth. His Birth Buster was fine, I think. It's actually kind of cool because, unlike sometimes with Figuarts, you could actually pull off the thing and readjust it to its different modes.
Pulled off your mom's
thing. And then lose it.
Yeah, really?
She died.
Well, it can't be as bad as the Forza switches.
Oh, God. I haven't got my Forza yet, and I'm afraid.
Now, another question is, will it come with a metal jabber?
Metal jabber? Birth is going to come with a metal jabber?
Whatever.
It Birth should. Did, I wouldn't be surprised if it did. I'm sure they have millions of them left. Everything comes with a metal jabber.
It only gets used like 10 times in the show.
That many?
Well, it's more times than Tataba's Rider Kick.
I'm also counting the movies where it always showed up for some reason.
Just because.
Because it's the movies.
Well, okay, like a movie where it's core, it makes sense because they hadn't gotten to the point in writing the series yet that they stopped using it.
Yeah. But it also showed up in Let's Go, and I think it's in Mega Max.
Well, yeah, but you know, in Let's Go, he was using the Tiger Ride vendor too.
Yeah, somehow. In this world that has been taken over by Shocker.
Yeah.
Lame Decade.
Or Deno. Whatever.
Or Ankh.
Ankh.
Yeah, Ankh's good enough.
Okay.
Ankh and Momotaros.
Okay, so any other news this week?
Yeah, speaking of blaming, Superhero Tyson is out in theaters at last.
Ah, only right. 6 more months until we actually get to see it.
Give or take.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a fun thing to do this fall.
Yeah.
Well, it's number one in the theaters right now.
Unsurprisingly.
Yeah, I mean,
not
pretty much
getting
all
very
of those.
Good reviews from, you know, critics, but what the hell do they know?
From
critics
fanboys,
fans?
You mean?
Same thing.
Nah. They
from
never like
fanboy
anything.
Critics?
Worst kind.
I would say that this film is not as good as others because it didn't have an in-depth story. And you are you, okay? Go Buster O! Rocket, drill, limit, break, period, end of story, done.
Thank you,
only
JD.
A period?
I think it is concise because it is a period.
Yes, just need that period at the end.
No, I'm saying a period's not enough.
I think that sums up our 20-minute discussion earlier. So
yeah, pretty much.
You know what? Go down, masturbate in your mom's basement, shut the fuck up. Because we're going to watch cool shit.
Yeah.
Damn. That just seems like... I think that... Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
But no, I mean, if you're going to Superhero Wars expecting, like, a story...
that it, yeah, or Decade to make sense, finally...
That's never going to happen.
No. It's a
Decade
miracle they got
never
paid back.
Decade will never make sense. It wouldn't have made sense if it was a 50-episode series to start with.
It would have made less, probably, by the time you got to the end of it.
Yes, because they still would have just pissed away all their time with more Rider Worlds.
Yeah.
And the end.
But, you know,
well,
if
more Rider Worlds probably would have involved more Showa than just Amazon and... Black.
And Black RX.
Well, you know, the worlds of Black were pretty cool.
Yeah.
They made more sense in that episode we watched.
Yeah, like, that's
hard kind of saying something.
And then Double came along and killed Shadow Moon.
It's like, once you watch Black, you never go back, but not in a good way. You're just like, oh, screw this.
Actually, that's a pretty good way to put it. But no, as long as you're going into Superhero Wars and all you're expecting is, you know, big fight
shit blowing
scenes,
up forever.
Yeah, blowing shit up forever. You're going to be fine with it. Don't go into it expecting anything deeper than that.
Yeah, it's going to be Marvelous and Tsukasa beating the shit out of each other while Forza and
it's
Go-Buster
65 minutes of spectacle. That's all.
Probably an hour and a half.
Well, whatever.
So it's like a Michael Bay film with less budget and shorter.
Basically.
But somehow still better production quality.
And maybe not as racist.
Better editing.
No, it's
Japan. I don't know about
it's
that. It
racist.
Is Japanese.
Oh, well. What you know. Can you do?
Remember, these are the people that invented the Tequila Gundam.
This is true. Oh, God, I love that thing.
Well, the people who invented so many of the Gundams in G Gundam.
It's so sad that was one of the very few designs from G Gundam that did not get an action figure.
I can't imagine why.
Did they ever make Nether Gundam?
Yeah, I have that.
Oh! Damn.
It's pretty good. It's like the hardest plastic. What?
Was it released here?
Yeah, that's the one I have.
Oh my god, how did I get that?
Hurricane Gundam.
Now I'm depressed.
Let me see.
I want an army build, though.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
At this rate, it'll still probably be easier than army building the Viacon.
Yeah,
well,
really.
You know, if you would have known that it existed at the time it came out, you actually probably would have had a good chance at picking up multiples.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know, that makes you feel a lot better now, doesn't it?
Thanks, XV.
That's what I come to expect.
Oh, you're not feeling too bad? Oh, well, here's a kick in the balls.
The other Gundam was the best Gundam.
Yeah. So, anything else in the news, or should we move along?
I think it's for the best that we move along.
Okay.
Sure.
Never.
What the hell, right?
Exactly.
So, I heard Power Rangers Samurai might have actually been good this week.
And now for something completely uninteresting.
It was decent. It had a lot of bulk. It had bulk and Spike making fools of themselves in the dojo.
I like how every time you say it was decent, then you start lead off with bulk and Spike and not the actual Rangers.
Well, there might be a reason.
Yeah,
and also had a lot of G getting frustrated trying to keep a bunch of Rangers from eating the dojo eventually.
Eating the dojo.
Well, they after they ran out of food, they'd have to eat something.
The episode was called A Bad Case of the Munchies, right?
Yes.
Oh, God.
So the samurai got into the weed again.
The day after 420, right? Because they were
yes.
That is brilliant in its own little way.
So now I'm imagining, you know, the circle from that 70s show, but with the samurai characters.
And it involved, mud being thrown that really looked more like, didn't look like mud.
So it looked like something that is of a mud texture, but not mud.
So are we talking like poo?
Or chocolate? One or the other. There's only not many choices here.
I'm pretty sure they don't mean chocolate.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Funny true story about shit.
Not again.
Was it me this time? Okay, it kind of was me. But anyway, go ahead.
One time when I was working at Walmart, I went over to Sporting Goods. I think I needed one of them to cover me for my break. And we happened to notice down on the floor this odd brown substance.
God. Flashbacks to when I used to clean restrooms.
And, you know, we're just kind of standing there looking like, is that, I mean, really? What?
Man.
And, you know,
surprised
that
the slightest, but it's still, you know.
Had to call housekeeping over. And
little
poor
gift.
Housekeeping.
But yeah, you know, that's tonight's true story about shit.
Okay, before you get off of that, though, what was it? I can't remember it one more. What was it? It was a number that we called the poor bastards that had to carry shit out and clean things. And
what was
those called?
I do not recall that.
There was a number code for them. I can't remember what it is, but oh well.
That might
they probably cringed every time they heard it.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Might have been, you know, just regional, though.
It could have been, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember anything like that.
I'll have to look it up.
I've tried to repress a lot of that memory, though.
Yeah.
Smart man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 15 years ago, so I worked at Walmart. Poop. I'm sorry. So they were going to eat the dojo?
Well, I'm just saying that because, they were almost out of food.
So were they actually eating me as cooking? Because you don't think they're bad if they're eating me as cooking.
So they missed the obvious joke?
She was probably too busy eating to cook anything.
They missed the obvious joke.
Yeah, yes. They missed the obvious joke.
So this doesn't actually sound like a Shinkinger episode that I can recall. I can guess the monster, I think, but...
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't ring any bells for me either.
Is it the monster that ate Ryunosuke's Shotofon?
No, that was last week.
Oh.
Okay, so which monster came after that?
I don't remember, actually.
Well, it can't be that important, so...
It's not.
Obviously, it's samurai.
And exactly. The entire reason that Bulk and Spike were at the dojo...
Are they still
the girls
helping
out shopping. Were out clothes shopping, and Mia dropped her wallet. Spike found it, and they got the address from her driver's license.
Because girls are stupid, apparently.
Girls are stupid and have pink wallets.
And go out shopping all the time.
And it's okay to look up their information and show up at their place without an invitation.
Or calling ahead, or, you know.
Well, I don't know. Would her driver's license have a phone number on it?
No.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of a problem.
My driver's license doesn't have a phone number on it.
Yeah, me either. Driver's license
don't typically have phone numbers.
Yeah, so, you know, calling first would be difficult.
Yeah, it's not like she dropped her cell phone with contact info.
You could always look up her in the Yellow Pages or something.
Facebook.
Yellow Pages? What's that?
White Pages.
What the fuck is a Yellow Pages? Tell us, Grandpa.
It's this thing they used to deliver to your doorstep. They have phone numbers
yellow
in them.
Pages is for business.
Every once in a while, right. I get these. White Pages. I get like these table props. Is that it? The thing that you put into the Lego
Pages.
I wondered what those were.
I only know about them because we still get them at the store.
So coupon books, right? Okay.
Sure.
I was more of a Yellow Pages.
Yeah, way to miss the obvious joke for it, Max.
Yeah.
Not even sure Don's old enough to remember Yellow Pages.
Man.
Hi, Don.
What did Don ever do to you?
But yeah,
he's old.
Yeah, what exactly would she be in the Yellow Pages for?
I get it. I meant White Pages.
You meant the White Pages. That's not better.
It really stopped mattering what color the pages were once we did the, what are Yellow Pages?
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the White Pages. God.
That was fun. That was more fun than you should have with an episode of Samurai.
Thankfully, okay, so, it has nothing really to do with Samurai.
Okay, so Fort Max, in the process of them looking in her wallet and everything, did they actually show the driver's license close-up?
They did, sort of, yeah.
Because, I mean, I saw a snap of that before the episode aired, which had the information readable. I don't actually have that around right now. But it seemed to indicate that the show takes place in Puerto Rico.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Interesting,
okay,
isn't it?
I'm
still imagining the sequence where, like, Bulk is like, her driver's license. I must take this into the bathroom and analyze it for 15 to 30 minutes.
No, I think that would be more Spike doing that.
You think so?
Yeah.
In this context, yes.
Okay, well, sorry. I don't watch this show, so I was, you know.
You're a better man for it.
Probably.
And yet he still comes to this show.
I know.
Well, I didn't say he was a perfect man.
Glutton for punishment.
Well, you know, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun in a...
You know how some people like to have their balls, like, tied up with rope and electrocuted? It's sort of like that.
Right, that's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Okay, here, check this.
Oh, here we go. Is this fappable?
Let me see something here.
Like the Will It Blend? Can I fap to it?
Well, why does the zip code have 6 digits?
Oh.
So it will not be a real zip code?
Panorama? That's the name of the city?
So they say.
Yeah, that is a Puerto Rico driver's license.
I'm sure they just picked PR for Power Rangers, but
well,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the most obvious reasoning behind that.
Watanabe. Okay.
Well, she looks more like a Watanabe than
Jade looks
like
a Shiba.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just was like, that seems like more of a complex Japanese name that they'd pick, and they would, wait a second, that was the last name of Cam and the sensei.
Yes.
Okay.
They've recycled last names before.
Just a coincidence.
Yeah.
It's rare, but it happens.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was Samurai for this week.
Wow. I feel better.
I know. We spent almost 10 minutes talking about that. That's like a record for an episode of Samurai.
A life I will never get back.
Yep.
Well, at least you didn't watch it.
This is true. Then it'd be a
lot. Fort Max lost 22 minutes out of his life.
Yeah, I know. You could have spent, you know, this time watching half of that episode, but we saved you that time.
Exactly. And you got to hear funny comments instead of samurai writing.
Or acting.
Acting. Now there's a funny comment.
All right, so it's space time.
Switch on.
Okay, who wants to take this one?
Sure, I'll do it.
All right. Get comfortable.
Or we just have JD do it.
No.
All right, get real comfortable.
I'm taking it.
Anybody need to go take a dump? This is a good time.
So when last we left our hero, he was dead.
The end.
But yeah, seriously, Tachibana did not take kindly to this and shut off Meteor's juice, revealing that he was Ryusei. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it was Ryusei this whole time?
It's a surprise.
Wow.
Actually, the one that was least surprised was the one he killed. Ironically.
You mean because he's dead?
Well, yeah, but I meant before he died.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Kengo flips his shit.
More than usual.
Yeah. I was actually kind of impressed with the actor, because he really f***ing lost it. But before anybody can do anything, Eri starts putting everybody to sleep, ejecting Shun from the Powerdizer. Of course, Shun is always the first one to be made a fool of.
Well, and look at the way he's dressed.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, who would have thought that the school uniform would be an improvement for him?
Yeah, those plaid pants. Anyway, before Kengo can get knocked out while he's still only slightly drunk, Meteor's bike comes in, saves him, as Tachibana calls him and tells him to get his ass out of there with Gintaro's corpse.
Yes, father. Oh, I'm... Ooh, oh.
Yeah. I'll get that in a minute. More previews for Superhero Tyson in the opening. And
that's pretty
are
cool.
You watching this?
I'm just slipping through.
Well, I mean, it's no different from usual, is it?
I know. But yeah, Kengo gets the hell out of there while Yamada is making everybody cosplay in his new school's uniform while reading over a script, which will involve him executing Kaoru and the other nameless students.
Playing the student council.
Yes. Jake actually has, for once, a cool moment for the first time in about 32 episodes, where he basically tells Yamada, bitch, please. And then everybody proceeds to get their asses kicked.
Yeah, I mean,
of course, it's Jake.
Yeah, but it was actually pretty cool.
You know, dude, I'm kind of f***ed up, but seriously, this is some f***ed up shit right here.
Yeah, I know, because he's the weaseliest member of the entire club, and he still is. And yeah, he's like, you know what? F*** you.
I know, that was pretty awesome, actually.
It really was, because then again, Shun is the one that's beat on the most, again.
Well, but he's also the one that had the best chance of taking out the Dustard.
This is true. Like, they stomp on his chest, throw him across the room.
Yeah.
Slam him into a table.
Yeah.
And then they keep kicking him while he's down.
Yeah.
Just like all the series.
Right. And they all bitch out Ryusei as he leaves. Especially Tomoko, with a line that sounds like it could have been spoken by Shotaro. The whole, you know, what a Kamen Rider is and whatnot.
Well, you know, she's the one who knows the whole urban legend thing to start with.
Yes, this is true. Back in the rabbit hutch, Kengo is trying to use the medical switch to restart Gintaro's heart, with Osugi hovering around and offering nothing helpful.
So,
well, that's Osugi.
Normal.
Yes.
Normal, yep. There we go. Every week.
Yeah, I've been thinking about Osugi's
line. I couldn't imagine this happening even when I wanted it to happen.
That was a nice one.
I really kind of like how Osugi is now that he is aware of everything.
Yeah, and you know, I've been thinking about that too. I mean, it kind of makes sense that since they got rid of Sonata, you know, he doesn't really have anything to do without someone to stalk.
Yeah.
And plus, the other part is that he knows that the person handing out, that someone handing out the switches is in the school faculty.
Yeah, I just mean like the plot element of adding Osugi to the Kamen Rider Club. Yeah,
I wonder if he confiscated his picture when they joined the Kamen Rider Club.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, God. Kingo saw that and was like, no. Did he go out the airlock?
Oh, great. Now there's the picture of her and orbiting around the moon.
Yes,
it'll burn up eventually.
Not around the moon.
It'll get thrown out of orbit.
Tachibana calls Kengo back, and we cut back to the hospital where Yamada has woken up Jiro. Ryusei's wants your love.
Don't tell Tomoko.
Or Kaoru.
Yeah.
Well, she's not coming back.
Well, and she's not his girlfriend anyway.
Anyway, Jiro
wants to hit him in the head with a paper fan.
Jiro switches the Zodiac switch.
Well, I think
back.
We've all had that moment.
Jiro switches the Zodiac switch off, finally. Thank God we can stop flashing back to that scene, I hope. Yeah. While
they're
Yamada
still gonna Gundam seed it for us.
My piano. Yamada gets called back to Gamo. And they have just kind of a...
Kind of gets forcefully called back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then gets bitched out by Virgo about not showing up. And then he's promptly praised and just keep doing what you're doing. I like it.
Gamow keeps praising everybody that only sticks around for a short time. And then they promptly get blown up.
Yeah, he should stop doing that. That's like the black camper right there.
Except I think Gamma knows.
It's like every time
that's only happened once so far.
Twice now.
I think Gamma, knows, okay, this guy is not going to last very long. You know, let's butter his bread a little bit to try to get as much damage out of him as possible first.
Sounds about right, really.
I mean, if you think about it, Gamma is kind of being a cross between Ryubei Sonozaki and Kogami.
Yeah.
So
he even looks a little bit like Kogami.
A little bit.
And Ryubei.
What I first thought when it started. Like, oh,
no, he is.
His suit's not flashy enough, but.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But can you imagine suit
him
is...
coming out in one of those suits in the boa?
He only wears that just one suit, pretty much.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's not like he ever gets out of that chair.
Right.
Yeah, Jiro and Ryusei have a short
conversation. Like robots in disguise Megatron.
Yeah. Jiro and Ryusei have a short conversation before Jiro passes out again, and it seems that he's actually, not really that much better. So Ryusei realizes he kind of f***ed up murdering Gintaro.
I sacrificed all of my principles to do something really stupid. Huh.
What were you say, you f***ing dumbass?
You really love Gintaro!
Kisaragi! Crying in the rain.
It's convenient how there's always some rain around there.
Anyway, Tachibana instructs Kengo to look outside the rabbit hutch for an inscription that is buried under dust from his father. Imagine that.
How would he know it was there?
It appears that the Astro Switches, surprise, surprise, are powered by friendship.
Yeah. Love and happiness and bunnies.
And I don't mind this at all, but, I completely figured that from, the first episode.
Yeah.
That's kind of – you could see coming 30 episodes ago easily, which I don't mind because it's the theme of the show.
Okay, I'm still going to assume Tachibana is not Kengo's dad and that this whole thing on the wall was scribbled out moments before Kengo's dad, died of hypoxia.
that's called denial.
It's called that it's still funny to think that he was just going batshit up there as his oxygen ran out and, he was running out of food and water.
If and when Tachibana is revealed to be Kengo's dad, it pretty much is, it kind of explains the origin of his name, considering that Kengo is effectively Gintaro's Tachibana. As in, like, the original Tachibana from Kamen Rider?
Yeah, I guess so.
So that kind of telegraphs that even more, I think, if that's what it ends up being. If and when that's what it ends up being. This episode makes that really kind of... if it's not that, I'm going to be surprised.
I don't think you'll be surprised.
No.
Either that or... it was either that or Gintaro was trying to befriend the rabbit hutch.
When you say befriend, how friendly.
He was going to talk to it the only way he knew how.
With love.
Write it out on the exterior.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking.
So, back on Earth.
Yes, Kaoru and her nameless friends are about to execute the Kamen Rider Club.
No, her name isn't Kaoru. Her name is...
her name is Kaoru, shut up, Port Max.
She's Kaoru now. I know what her actual name is. Anyhow, Ryusei comes in and with a kind of an actual nice use of wire work, imagine that from his first appearance, kicks the shit out of Ares across the field.
Wait, you're... How is nice use of wire work surprising?
I was just commenting.
Remember back when Meteor first appeared?
And it looked like shit.
Yeah exactly.
Who's directing?
Yeah, that was my next point. You can tell this is a Sakamoto episode because of the fight that comes up next.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome.
It is.
And even more awesome is the fact you can tell that through most of it, there's hardly any stunt actor filling in.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Oh yeah. I tell you, when I watched it, my balls grew three sizes.
And you can always tell in these shows.
See a doctor about that.
You can always tell in these shows that somebody that is actually has a bit of actual training, and I think Ryusei's actor is one of those people.
Well, and Gintaro's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I mean this was also a little unusual for a Sakamoto fight in that because they weren't using the stunt actors so heavily, all the shots weren't blocked to cover the stunt guy's face.
Yeah. There was maybe one or two shots in that might have been, but considering most of the shots were Ryusei's actor, it might have just been him anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, it really gave the whole thing a different flow because they're not having to shoot around the face like that.
And considering kind of what kind of a moment this is, like he realized he f***ed up, and even if he lost Gintaro and Jiro and being able to call himself a Kamen Rider, it's kind of like that moment of, okay, his balls finally dropped. It just took him too long.
And I liked even what he said, because even, his statement was that he wasn't even doing it for redemption. He was doing it, for himself.
Yes.
Which is like, that's kind of badass, dude.
Yeah, it's like you people are never going to forgive me, probably, so I'm going to save your lives anyway, even if it kills me, which it probably will.
But he wasn't even doing it for that. He wasn't even his thought.
He was not seeking anyone's forgiveness for what he did, because on some level he still felt what he did was right, but he was going to do for himself so that he could live with the choice he made later.
Or die with
her. If
he lived.
Because it looked like Jiro was probably going to die anyway.
I mean, obviously he knew going into that it was going to be his, heroic sacrifice moment, but that's the whole point.
Meanwhile, back up in the rabbit hutch while Ryusei is starting to get his ass kicked, Kengo is trying to shove the cosmic switch in there because that's just what Tachibana has.
Wait, I mean, where?
Into his watch.
I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking it.
He's trying to shove the cosmic switch into the hole.
Yeah.
Just relax and take the cosmic switch!
Danger.
Anyway, Gintaro in cosmic space sees his parents in the distance.
Cosmic space? I thought it was just like a flower field.
I can't tell what it is. It looks
like
space where when they transfer.
Show bubbles.
Yeah. Regardless, he's about to walk into the light and see his dead parents.
I remember this part. Then he goes back to consciousness and drinks the blood of Ra's al Ghul to save Arkham City.
That's exactly it.
And he dresses as a bat because criminals are
superstitious and cowardly.
Awesome. All right.
A minute.
All right, we're okay.
Give me a minute.
We're good.
His parents are dead.
Damn it, Fork.
Last King Cook.
I hate you all so much.
So am I.
God.
Okay, so about to go into the light.
Anyway, Kingo is able to bring him back, along with
a hallucination.
The hallucinations of everybody else as well.
Hit some roofies, and then he slipped the cosmic switch in.
Yes.
Yeah.
He got him to relax.
Just breathe.
And then he pulled the lever. Anyway, also, in the end, Gintaro comes back to life with the power of space magic.
And immediately proceeds to smash into Otsugi's head.
Yes.
See, he should have lost consciousness at that moment just for the comedy. Kengo just went to all this trouble to wake him up, and Otsugi puts him back into a coma.
And Kengo's like, oh, f***.
I like it, it's like you're right in the middle of this sort of semi-emotional moment, and then, it's like nothing wasted, just a comic moment right after it, Okay.
I never lived, this is a beat. Anyway, of course, Kengo knows that Gintaro, being the idiot that he is going to go back down there immediately and try and save everybody, Ryusei included. And, of course, that's exactly what he plans to do, while Ryusei is getting his f***ing ass beat now. Because Dust Stars don't go down as easily as your normal mooks, apparently.
Especially without the driver.
Yeah. But the other Kamen Rider Club actually does come back for him, amazingly.
After they're freed from their hosts.
But he tells him to get the hell out of there. He still gets his ass beat around. And is about to pass out when Gintaro catches him. To everybody's shock, obviously. And I liked the direction of this intro.
The erection?
The direction, the direction of this intro. I said direction.
Direction?
Anyway, where it pans around and Kingo just kind of waltzes up.
It's one of those kind of things.
Yes. It's kind of bad. Anyway, Gintaro shows that his actor can fight too.
And yeah, that's what I was talking about before.
They beat the shit out of the remaining Dustards. And everybody drags Ryusei off after.
Now I do like some of the, do like Jake's line here. Well, I guess if the guy he murdered is okay with that.
Yeah.
Finally, after.
So he can do two good things in an episode. It's a new record.
Yeah.
After 15 episodes, they finally do the handshake, Ryusei and Gintaro. And yes, that is a euphemism.
Ha ha.
Nice.
An unfortunate one.
Ha ha, hand job.
We'll do a special handshake, but we much.
He came back to life. I'm pretty sure it's a fortunate one.
Yeah, Gintaro forgives him because he says that no bad guy could fight that hard for his friends. And then proceeds to transform and switch to cosmic states, where he fuses with all 40 switches and proceeds to open up a can of whoop ass.
Yes, this is also called Forze's badass states.
Yeah. Ultimate whoop ass states.
Yeah, this is pretty much what it is. It even comes with its own personal AT field, as Ares finds out when he runs smack dab into it.
And you can get its own personal space opera.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of badass in the way because, I mean, the really cool thing is because he can combine the switches that were on the same peg now.
Yeah.
So you get frost missiles.
No.
Yeah.
Useful for horoscopes and Metroids.
Rocket electric sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the possibilities with this setup
are
if they
fun as
really
hell.
if they put some thought into this in later episodes, we're in for some really cool looking fight sequences.
My question
especially with the right leg.
Yeah.
You have magic hand, you have giant foot, you have pen.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so if they combine
launcher.
Magic hand with pen.
Wow.
But I'm wondering is it just locked to the limbs, or would they be able to be interchangeable beyond that?
Well, we don't know yet.
If it gets interchangeable beyond that, it's going to be possibly f***ing crazy.
This has the possibility to be one of the most overpowered final forms of any writer.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
Maybe aside from Kuga.
Yeah.
Although Kuga's power was never really demonstrated.
Yeah, he did not blow up the world.
Right.
Anyway, his final, after freezing him and then smacking him with a giant fire sword, he out into freaking space.
Before that, Ares is trying to activate his supernova powers, but apparently he doesn't have the hang of it like Cancer did.
Yeah, he didn't really get much of a chance to finish that anyway.
Oops.
And this finishing attack, I have to say, it reminds me of the fact, oh yeah, this is written by Gurren Lagann's writer. Because the penultimate form of Gurren Lagann was Super Galactic Gurren Lagann. That cannot be a coincidence. It's way too specific a term, I think.
Probably. I mean, I caught that too.
Yeah.
But mostly because of the way that it was translated.
Yeah. Well, Choginga means basically that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know it can be taken Super Galactic or Super Galaxy either way.
Yeah. That was probably what Overtime was thinking when they did it, at least. Because, oh, wait, that's how it was translated.
Huh.
But yeah, he blows the f*** out of Ares, and it appears that Yamada somehow did not...
die in the vacuum of space?
Yes.
Yeah. Because
which is also bullshit.
I have to assume the finishing attack comes with a return warp.
I'm going to have to guess so.
Either that or he just got sent directly to
I'm going to guess that considering Ares only lasted two episodes, Zodiac of the Day is going to become Horoscope of the Day.
Well, at the point in the series they're at, that had to come eventually.
Yeah. And that would have shake out to about most of the other horoscopes if that's how they want to run with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because pretty much it got to the point where you had the greed of the two weeks.
Yeah, basically.
More horoscopes than greed, so...
Yeah. Yamada is in a coma, and Gamow has yet another horoscope switch. Because apparently that just fell back to Earth.
I'm going to assume it's the return warp thing.
Yeah.
Either that or...
I don't think Parachute would work from that high up.
Yeah.
Well, he probably got the switch the same way he got Yamada earlier.
Virgo.
Yeah, probably.
Speaking of Virgo...
Yeah.
Somehow, Virgo knows about the mysterious interloper who helped Kamen Rider Meteor.
Mm-hmm.
And she also somehow understands what Cosmic State's power level is.
Yeah.
9,000?
Apparently it's not quite 9,000 yet.
That's a little suspicious. Just a little suspicious.
Hmm.
But then the question is, if it's somebody else, who the f*** would it be at this point? Yeah. Kaoru? Then again, you never know.
Yeah.
Always possible. But regardless, Ryusei is, you know, welcome back into the club and actually given his meteor driver back. Apparently, they have to try and keep his identity a secret from the enemy.
Yeah, now Tachibana's only talking to Kengo.
Yeah. Yeah, he's only talking to his son.
Or no, he's probably only talking to the person who threatened to have Gintaro befriend him.
Yeah, but the reason
sure
I guess they're doing
was,
that is
I'm sure at first Tachibana was all like, hey, Kengo, want to drive her?
do I?
Yeah, I imagine that it seems to be less protecting Ryusei and more protecting Tachibana at this point with that.
Yeah,
yeah, because it was specifically done to deny plausibility or...
Yeah, plausible deniability.
Yep.
Yeah.
And speaking of denying, in comes Otsugi again.
Yeah, because they're going to keep that from him, too, evidently.
As he slowly hides the rider behind his back.
Yeah.
That's going to last.
Next week, finally, we get to see Leo do something after 33 episodes.
And they're going to Kyoto.
Yes, they are.
Well, I guess it's better
than... sent back in time?
I was going to say it's better than Edo Japan.
There's a little cosplay, so there's that at least. It is
your Edo period set.
It is a Kobayashi series. There you go. There's your Edo set.
Well, no, it's not just Kobayashi series that do that. It's like every writer series. There's a contractual obligation to use that set,
but especially Kobayashi.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did Deno go back to that? Wasn't it like every movie?
Yeah.
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 All right.
Yeah, that was a pretty good episode, actually.
Well, that was short, 25 minutes.
Double had the best use of that set.
Well, double.
Yeah.
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 Shippu!
Kitafuda! Sad, I can still remember that.
Why is that sad?
I don't... Because I can still remember that.
No, it's awesome.
I guess.
You know, it's like my hand has been turned into a cow.
Oh, my hand!
See, JD, you need to be watching Double.
Apparently.
Yeah. Like, you should go and marathon that tonight and tomorrow.
And yeah, it'll only take you, like, 25 hours.
Yeah, because I don't have things to do, like, I don't know, pack or clean or, you know, get the house ready or anything. No.
What do you mean, you know, get the house ready?
Because those two losers are staying at my house on Wednesday.
So?
And then again on Sunday.
Yeah.
Leaving Wednesday morning?
That just means you can watch Double then.
That's true.
What? No.
Make sure to bring Double with you somehow.
Actually, I need to get the house clean now because then I'll be gone. And then my girlfriend's going to be here on the next Tuesday. And that's who I really care about the house being clean for.
Your girlfriend?
What you do is just like burn it.
My ex-girlfriend.
Or a USB drive and just shove it in his hands. That way he has no excuse not to just go download it.
Shove what into what?
Huh?
All of Double.
Well, I
don't think all of Double will fit into
What, I mean, is it a memory? Or are you trying to make him a monster or something?
Well, there's that. Optional.
Just accept the cosmic switch. Axe. Don't fight it.
Don't clinch.
You're clinching down. Don't clinch.
Danger.
Oh, it's always the second connected artist. Anyway, what?
Okay, so I think it's time for Buster.
Okay, dibs.
Oh no, I got this one.
I thought I called it. Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, let's go.
Okay, so Yoko's a bitch.
Cool. The end.
And so there's no Megazord or Metroid this week. Okay, bye.
So beat.
Well, there's Bugzords.
And there's
Magnet States Megazords.
This and was called no GoBug. And there's no Buster-O.
This episode was called Save Budget to Put Towards the Movie. The end.
Yes, it is.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So Usada's kind of upset.
The only good point of the episode is Usada, really.
Well, it is an Usada focus episode.
Yes.
Which is like the weirdest thing.
Usada. Everyone's pretty good in this. Mostly in their reactions to
everything.
The bickering.
That relates to Usada, so.
Okay, so apparently Usada has been Yoko's tutor for, like, her entire life. And being homeschooled really explains a lot of her personality problems, I have to say.
being homeschooled by Usada.
I'm just saying, being homeschooled in general, that'll give you problems.
Well, the homeschool is pretty much a military base with lots of people, that's probably closer to, that's probably closer to more, like private schooling or
not when there's no other kids around. You know, there was nobody else Yoko's age around then, because Ryuji was already like 25. He's old, in case you didn't notice.
Yeah,
they keep pointing this out. Really, I hadn't noticed. Maybe
he's
if they
old
told
that
me
brain
one more
guy
time,
from Victory,
or five more times in the next two episodes.
You know, I never said the crane guy from... You know what? Never mind.
The guy from Master Force.
Well, you remember it your way, I remember it my way. Anyway.
I remember it the you way.
And just to be fair, I didn't bring it up this week.
I know.
So anyway, Utana's kind of upset because... Hiromu and Ryuji were helping Yoko with her homework. And apparently it's causing
well, less helping, more she tricked them into doing it.
It's more like Ryuji offered the help, and then Hiromu decided to try making it into a competition.
Yeah.
Well, either way, they did her homework. On, it's probably more that she tricked them into doing it for her.
Well, she probably tricked Ryuji into it at first, and then Hiromu came and kind of just, you know...
Started to try and be a dick somehow.
Because well, I mean, Hiromu.
If
Hiromu wasn't tricked into doing it, he would have definitely caught on and brought it up about how the old guy was being outsmarted by the 16-year-old.
Either way, he does say straight up he just wanted to prove he could do it faster.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Yoko's a 16-year-old girl, so her number one skill ought to be manipulating people. So,
manipulating family.
Especially older people.
You know, it's easy to see how Hiromu would have walked in and she'd be like, hey! You know?
Yeah.
You know, Usada's going on about how it's really important that Yoko does her own studies because, and I quote, we really can't afford to let Yoko get any stupider than she already is.
And about how the last test that he gave her got a big fat zero on it. She's always forgetting everything.
And that's about the time she walked in.
Well, no. She walked in quite a bit before that. Yeah, she was just, and of course... Sada was just facing away. The others were motioning like, she's behind you, and then just started inching over behind the pillar.
But Usada didn't notice because he's overheating.
And Gorosaki was the first to duck behind something solid.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic scene.
Yes.
And that's the story of how Usada went to deliver some of the recaptured Enitron all by himself.
Yes.
And how much roomier the RH-03 is without Yoko cramping it up.
Yeah.
Well, she has a fat head, after all.
I think that's his way of saying she's fat.
God.
And see,
shoot at him.
The part I liked best about this is while Usada's out making the delivery... You know, Yoko's sitting there at a table in the command center with just piles of all the Buster snacks.
Yes.
All around her.
If they're not selling those somewhere in Japan, that is a shame.
There's just a new one this week, too.
The chocolate.
Every other week, there's a new one.
Chocolate waffle.
The GB chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate waffles for it, Max.
Yeah.
Well, that's delicious.
Chocolate waffles. I'm hungry now. And
come
I just ate dinner.
Some waffles. Let's forget this.
Screw this.
Okay. Sidebar here. Ken, you're from Georgia. What's the deal with chicken and waffles?
I have no idea.
Damn it.
I don't even know, and I live here.
It's delicious, right?
I don't know why you would do that.
I don't either. That's the whole thing. I don't understand this. It's chicken and waffles.
Here, and I don't know why you would do that. Like, I went to IHOP the other day, and it was on the menu. I was like, what the f***?
Exactly! That's what I'm saying! What
the chicken's supposed to be, like, spicy, though, so it's, like, the sweet and spicy, and then...
Yeah, that sounds nasty! Why do you want chicken near syrup? I mean, seriously!
I'll
turbo my bacon, maybe, but...
I don't know, I'm a fat guy. I'm like, any excuse to throw more calories on something, you know?
Yeah.
See, you'd make a perfect Yoko.
Are you kidding?
Oh, God. Mental image.
I should cosplay as Yoko.
Oh, there's the mental
Imagine
image.
Me in those shorts? Oh, yeah, buddy.
Oh, that's
get that out of your head, kids.
Oh, that's perfect.
That'll replace the whale in me nightmares.
But enough about XV's mother.
Yeah. So while Usada's on his way back, he's going through like a hotel lobby.
Yeah, for some reason.
And the two bellhops come up and offer him a ride on the luggage cart.
Yes,
not like he can go up the stairs.
It's an escalator. The escalator's right there. Yeah. You couldn't fit on that thing.
Welcome, R2-D2.
Yeah.
We would like to help you up the stairs.
So I'm not exactly sure where Usada had intended to go, but apparently he doesn't notice them wheeling him down to the parking garage.
He's too busy having fun.
He's just like, la-di-da-di-di.
No, he's not la-di-da-di-da. He's wee as he goes down the ramp.
Well, that too.
Yeah, because finally, you know, somebody's treating him like the important person he really is.
Yeah.
Or at least he thinks he is.
That's what I said, JD.
No. Yeah, okay, whatever.
And so, you know, the two guys throw him in the back of their little, you know, compact car thing.
And he finally realizes something's going on.
Gee, I wonder what his first clue was. That he's in the back of this dinky little car.
It's that it's dark.
Or that they locked him in the back of this dinky little car.
No, just that it's dark.
It's a good thing he isn't a child, because that'd have been over. What?
Okay, so credits, more superhero war preview, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not watching this for Max.
Yeah, because the preview wasn't in the credits anyway. Not until the end.
I could have swore there was preview in these credits.
No. Only in the end ones with the spoiler new end thing that we actually can't see the footage of.
Yeah, that was weird too, that there was a different end theme, and it's not even like a different verse or anything, it's just
a completely different
song.
But we can't see the theme dance. Where it says sing and dance with us after the commercials. Well, how the f*** am I supposed to dance if I don't see the dance?
Yeah,
exactly.
Where's the dance?
Stuff everywhere. That's how.
That's my favorite part every week, where I get up and dance with them.
False advertising.
Wow, man. JD, I hope the subs for GoBuster go up while Brian and I are at your house.
Because
that will be an experience.
We'll sing and dance with the GoBusters.
Oh, shit.
I'm really disappointed. My wife didn't have time to teach me, you know, how to do the dance, but she said it's all in the arms anyway. So.
Shaking in your hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. These kidnappers are apparently not too bright.
Really? What was your first clue?
Japanese equivalent of, like, Bulk and Skull.
No, those were the guys from the start of O's.
I saw this.
They called the Enitron facility, not, you know, the special ops thing that they don't know exists, and said, hey, we got your stuff over here. We want 2,000 Trons.
Which they estimate is worth 100 million yen.
And of course,
Usada is all saying that he's worth
way more than that.
That's his concern.
Everybody in ops, though, is just kind of taking it really easy. Like,
Well, there's a good reason for that. They can track Usada's position easily.
Yeah, it's like these guys
and
are not
they're,
even...
They're confused that, why didn't the depot guys think of that?
Well, it's just kind of like this isn't our you know department. It's your shit. Go get it back.
Yeah.
that was a really great part.
and it's kind of like, well, these guys aren't that big of a deal anyway because we can track them and walk right in and take them back. So it's not going to f***ing matter anyway.
That's right. Exactly what they do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know that works really well for about 30 seconds.
And then, surprise, enter.
But see, enter, meanwhile, has been talking to, you know, Messiah, and he's all like, hey, we got these Megazord blueprints, and if I could just use a little Enertron, no!
Oh, God. My ears.
Well, that was kind of the point.
Yeah.
Enter's ears, too.
Yeah. I feel sorry for Enter.
You know, Enter's all like, okay, so we need Megazords. Enter's like, we need Megazords to get Enitron, but we need some Enitron to make Megazords.
It's budget time for both the show and Enter.
If only he could just stumble upon some large quantity of Enitron without doing any work. And so he sticks his finger into the air.
Of course he doesn't want to work. He's French.
I love this part because you know how some people will like try to see the direction of the wind and like lick their finger and stick it up? No, he just sticks it up in the air and he gets like radio waves. It's like, man.
Like I was saying, Enter is so middle management, it's not even funny.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
He takes it in stride, though.
Ken, after so many years of it,
you have to in order to survive.
I mean, Ken, Enter is basically you, except in Japan. And with
yeah, this is why I love him so much. I want to see him succeed.
Yeah, because we've all been there.
Yeah, it's like, the Go Busters. I want to see you enter win.
And so
I feel for him.
And so Enter intercepts yet another call from the kidnappers to the Enatron, whatever, Enatron department, demanding their 2,000 Trons. And it's like, light bulb.
Ding, ding.
And so we cut back to where the Go Busters have come to rescue Usada. But
well,
then
first,
the...
when they're getting ready to do it.
Yeah, they do the scan thing with the Morphin Brace.
Well, no. First, when they're getting ready to do it in the base, Yoko says the most stereotypically Tsundere line possible.
Not like I want to rescue him or anything.
I'm not worried about him.
Even though she's the first one running up there, like grabbing
and,
her equipment.
And of course, the appropriate reaction, everyone starts to laugh.
Exactly.
Oh.
No, I mean, the best part about that is that everybody is aware of exactly what's going on. You know, it's not like the typical situation with that where it's everybody's kind of just ignoring it.
they're all kind of getting in that office.
I don't know. I think my favorite part of that whole scene, though, is where with a straight face, the commander's like, go rescue Usada Lettuce.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, it's not entirely a straight face because he kind of cocks this expression after he says it.
So just like, that's
like,
really
yeah, I know this is silly. Go so you can be back for lunch.
Well, I mean, this episode ends up being like the most personality the commander has displayed so far in the series.
Especially at the
yeah.
end.
Yeah, that's a lot of what I mean. But
it's
even earlier when he's trying to figure out why Usada's flying to deliver the recaptured Enatron.
Like, tell me why he's doing it by himself.
Yeah, he's like, didn't I order both of you to go do that?
Yeah, about you
know. That. And then you get the most hilarious flashback sequence.
Well, yeah, that's the part I started with.
Yeah.
But
it's like the most casual rescue operation ever because they know
yeah,
these
but I mean, it's kind of cool because even though it's so, like, low stakes compared to what they normally do and,
it's
you
his
know,
job
casual...
to be serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing their job the way they've been trained to.
Regardless.
And, yeah, it's still a super serious situation even though it's like, you know, we could probably just, like, walk in there and punch them in the face and take Usada home.
That's what they try to do.
Well, and that basically succeeds until the bugglers show up.
I do like when they walk in, though. He's like, oh, God, is it the police? He's like, no, we're a lot more gentle than the police.
and then headlocks.
Just thinking, what are these police like?
Well, you know, the police will come in. Well, no, the police don't carry guns, but, you know, they'd be coming in with their sticks and just beating them into submission before they even ask any questions.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I guess we've seen how Terry rolled in double, so.
Yeah, but he carried
and
a gun.
In the hit sword movie, Ryu Terry punches things.
A lot of series on you have the police carrying guns. They're just have those.
Ineffective?
They just have those bike stretchy chains attaching them to their.
Although, you know, Kuga actually kind of subverted the whole thing because one of the earliest things the police force did was issue bigger guns.
Yeah.
I thought was the coolest thing.
Well, that is one of the cooler things about Kuga is that they how heavily the police are actually involved in the entire plot.
Yeah, I mean the whole thing revolves around the police force.
Yeah.
And it sort of does in Agito too about half the time
with G3.
Right.
Even if he loses all the time.
Well, he only loses until he gets upgraded to G3X. You know, at that point he's got weapons that will actually kill the unknown. And then it's awesome.
So anyway, back to Roger Rabbit.
Yeah,
thank you.
Eventually.
But yeah, the bugglers show up, and then, you know,
well,
it's Morphin
and
time.
He's also asked if that, oh, so I'm going to be able to go home soon?
And when they break in to get him, he claims he's just saving up his strength to escape.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Anyone buy that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but...
That makes perfect sense.
And it's like, enter, kidnapping doesn't seem like your thing. He's like, yeah, I thought I'd try it out. Gotta keep things fresh.
Yes, and to keep things fresh, he uses a bomb.
Oh, so he's been chatting with Bosco.
Or Divatox.
Or O-Red.
Yeah.
Damn it, Orin!
Teaching Bosco how to use bombs. So anyway, the bomb explodes and covers enter taking off with Usada. And so they're back to the base and all like, oh. And they can't track him anymore because Enter actually understands to cover the signal. How about that?
He's good. Damn.
Then, Enter controls the vertical.
and the horizontal.
Do not attempt to adjust your TV. Enter is in control.
Of the TV.
Yeah, Enter hijacks the TV waves. All of them. Enter hijacks all the tubes. And broadcast his message to the GoBusters, which I have to wonder, you know, just how aware the public is of the GoBusters specifically. Besides that, you know, there's two sets of giant robots fighting each other every other week.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be like Transformers where they just, like, forget it. Like, oh, what?
Yeah. No, I'm just kind of wondering more if the specifics
GoBusters
of it are
Memorial
like...
statue.
Well, I'm kind of wondering. I imagine the GoBusters are publicly enough known because, like, when they... did the rescue operation at the hospital and whatnot, that's going to be kind of, you know...
Yeah, just in situations like... bit. Ever since O's, in situations like this, I kind of think, like, okay, a lot of stuff's going on and it's kind of flashy, but I wonder just how widely known all this is.
Well, with O's, it was mostly, like, in back alleys and...
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was just kind of weird in O's where it got to that point where you realize... oh, nobody actually knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Well,
including the writers.
Well, yeah.
Though that was more the... though I think assume part of that was more no one actually knew what his name was.
And that was possible, too. Was at all.
It's not like Forze where he introduced himself in every fight.
Right. So Enter proposes an exchange. 20,000 trons of Entron in
which
1 hour.
Which Usada actually appreciates.
Yes, he's finally getting what he's worth.
Yeah, Enter knows how to roll. He's like, I got this.
But if they're even 1 second late, they forfeit their part of the deal, by which he means that there is another bomb on Usada's chest, which will go off in an hour.
From now.
And they're pretty well convinced that the Enetron department won't actually give them any Enetron because they're convinced not to be involved at all.
So basically, it's kind of like what Enter was dealing with Messiah.
And yes, see, that seems a little short-sighted, too, since that little robot's an integral component of the giant robot that saves the Enetron tanks all the time.
Yeah, they got a thing. They got a... I can't with the...
Yeah,
we got
but
stopped.
That's
yeah,
government bureaucracy you know. For you.
Yeah, red tape.
Well, if you'll fill out this form and then give us 30 to 45 days, we'll give you a response that we've received your form and let you know... within 50 to 100 days after that, whether or not we will be responding to your request for... oh, God, okay, we'll just do it.
Basically, yeah. We'll just go punch Enter in the nut. Thanks, bye.
So while they're all pretty sure that trying to pull a fast one and Enter with a fake supply of Enetron won't really get them very far, Yoko has a brilliant idea. And let that statement sink in for a moment.
This okay. cannot end well.
Poor Usada.
So, Yoko's plan involves a fake Hiromu.
Played by Morishita.
Whatever his name is, I don't care.
Morishita.
Extra guy.
Yeah. Whatever. Operator 1.
Yes.
Operator not a girl.
Meanwhile, Operator girl, aka Nakamura.
Are you sure about that?
Now see... they all know that Enter will catch on right away that something's weird because they're going along with the plan.
Uh-huh.
So Yoko decides that they will make the imposter Hiromu obviously a fake by letting Enter see the real Hiromu around the corner.
Right away.
Yes. But the real secret is that the real Yoko will be coming up from the other side of the building.
Really fucking slow.
Yeah, isn't
her
special
like
power
has...
jumping? Right, that's kind of what I was thinking.
And she eats the fucking candy before she goes up there, too.
However, remember, this is a Yoko plan. Of course she's going to forget that. Oh yeah, oh, yeah. She can jump.
Superpowers.
And while luckily... Yoko's over coming up the backside, Miho is posing as Yoko.
Which is certainly not a euphemism for anything.
Oh no, not at all.
Not until she's older, at least.
So in Go Go Kaiger versus Go Busters then. All right.
Oh boy.
Carry on.
So they pull up with their tanker truck, handily labeled Enatron, and Enter comes up and is like, okay, I don't think all my Enatron's gonna fit in that thing. And Fake Hiromo's like, shut your f***ing hole, there's more coming.
Well, at least, because, at least he's got the attitude down right, you know?
Yeah, Morishita is doing his best Hiromu impression right there.
Pretty good, actually.
Meanwhile, Miho Yoko is just kind of sitting in the background, not saying anything.
Fidgeting, like,
Well, they took her glasses. She's probably blind as a bat.
That's true.
She probably is.
Well, maybe they got her prescription sunglasses.
Or maybe she has them on behind the sunglasses.
See, those
sunglasses. She's gonna be pissed when she throws those away, though, then, you know.
Yeah. Oh, f***. Those sunglasses are good for a lot of things. That's not a euphemism at all,
sunglasses
either.
Sunglasses are not for throwing?
No. But you can wear them at night.
The sunglasses are out of range. Anyway, Enter's kind of working his own angle here because he knows something's up, even though they want him to know something's up. And he called out the last two Bug Zords from the other day when they first formed the King of Busters. And he's like, okay, those guys are going to do a lot of damage to the city. So are you going to go deal with that, or are you going to go rescue him?
And this let this be a lesson to the Go Busters. Clean your shit up.
Yeah, they did that in like that first or second episode. What the hell?
They got complacent.
I guess so.
Well, like, or actually, it's not that. They're probably two other. They're two different ones. He probably hid them away for later.
Maybe.
No? I don't know.
Because remember, he was standing on top of right where they were buried.
That's true. I bet Enter used to be a fat kid.
What?
Just hide that food for later.
Oh.
Never know when you might need a snack in the middle of the night. You put it under your bed. Just make sure it's nothing that molds.
Yeah, sometimes you just might need a giant, some giant robots when the boss won't let any go.
Oh, like how we hide pins at work.
Yes, God, those things. Somewhere there's an enormous mountain of pins.
Come back an hour later. What the fuck until the pins?
So Hiromu, the real Hiromu, rides out to go and deal with the Bug Zords. While the commander calls and tells the rest of them, okay, time to execute Plan B. Which results in everybody looking around confused, like, huh? Plan what now? And they just kind of stagger away, leaving the tanker truck behind while they go figure out what the hell they're supposed to be doing. And Enter climbs right up top, opens the lid, and sticks his hand in and is like, wait, water? Those f***ers.
And he looks pissed.
How do you say f***ers?
He is pissed. And then he starts spamming, and then he starts enter spamming.
So it's like, yes. it's like in a game at the arcade when you lose and you just want to say f*** it, you just keep smacking the thing to bring the continue numbers down to zero just so that way nobody else has a chance. This is that.
What's an arcade?
Oh, God.
It's probably like a Yellow Pages. Thing, I don't know.
Is it like a PlayStation?
Like a
Well, no, because people still know what a PlayStation is.
It's like a Nintendo, except you have to go to the give them quarters to play once.
What's a quarter?
It's that thing you use to get the shopping cart out of Aldi.
It's something you can use to get five times with your mom.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Anyway.
Six in Canada.
Actually, I think the Canadian dollar is stronger right now. But anyway, so Yoko's hauling up Usada by his chain.
Very f***ing slowly.
Well, her power is not super strength.
It's hopping.
That's been established.
But Usada somehow realizes, oh, hey, this timer's going faster. You might want to get out of here.
Well, and, she pulled up about five times the amount of chain needed to pull him up. And
yeah,
still,
I don't know.
He was like, ugh.
But, you know, she's not going. He's not stopping telling her to get away.
And
yeah, pretty much.
The chain is knocked loose,
And then
it blows up. As something blows up. Yes.
I'll never let go, USADA. I'll never let go.
Yeah.
Are you going to belt out some Celine Dion?
Sorry, go ahead.
So while this is going on, the Buster machines roll out and start holding off the bug zords. And once USADA explodes, Ender's like, oh, well.
It's like, LOL.
They should translate all this French as leet speak.
Yes.
LOL, BBFN.
But then a voice from behind them says, ha ha, fooled you. Yes, Enter got trolled.
And when you troll a troll, he gets really pissed.
He really did, too.
Man, that was like...
like the first time Enter's like really locked.
That was some facial contortion right there. And so the flashback reveals that Hiruma went about a block away and met up with the others and explained that Plan B was making Enter think they were leaving and the Buster machines are just being operated by the Buddyroids.
Yep. Because it's not just... because they're not just a team of...
because three. We're a team! Shing!
Yes, that too.
That was a great splash image, though.
What?
With everybody at the base, too. I mean, they should put like all the maintenance workers in there and everything.
Yeah.
They wouldn't fit.
They will eventually.
Even Commander Winky's name.
His name doesn't matter. He's just the commander.
Commander Winky Coffee.
He's Gendo.
Yeah.
But his desk hasn't floated yet.
Yet.
Well, they don't have enough budget for that.
It's not made of mahogany.
Yeah, mahogany floats like nothing, I'll tell you. Anyway, so they explain exactly to Enter what they did to fool him.
So, like, this is like the reverse of a supervillain explaining their plan.
Yeah,
pretty much. It's pretty awesome, though.
Well, it's kind of what Takara used to do every episode in Shinkenger. Like, this is how we just f*** your shit up. Here.
But somehow it wasn't as entertaining then.
It's pretty entertaining.
Yes, but not without an Enter to play off of.
This is true. Nobody quite had the charisma Enter has.
And so Enter decides to try to tentacle rape all of them in his rage. But he just uses it as a distraction to make his escape. And go fume somewhere.
I was so afraid for a moment when he got pissed off they were going to kind of ruin Enter and turn him into a rubber monster.
Yeah, I was kind of.
Yeah, I really thought they were going to. I thought this was. I was like, oh, we're going to see his badass form. Okay. Wow. No, that,
I guess ruin is it's not the best word for it.
Well,
but...
it ruined Bosco.
No, I did. Nah, it didn't ruin Bosco.
Nah.
It did. Nah. It's just to tossing the sunglasses. Bosco is nowhere near as awesome as
Duke. I don't know, but Bosco's suit is pretty awesome for a rubber suit.
Yeah, but it loses all the person.
You still don't get the full Bosco with that.
Yeah, it loses Bosco's personality.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I kind of think of it as a separate deal, really.
Mm. But you know, before Enter leaves entirely, his echoing voice can be heard, and he thanks the GoBusters for teaching him how to really be a troll.
Hello,
BBFN.
So while you know they won this battle,
would troll
that
again?
Certainly won't come back to bite them later.
No, because it's not like Enter. Enter, see, the dangerous thing about Enter is he has a better memory than most Super Sentai villains.
He has a better memory than most Super Sentai heroes.
Exactly.
You know, Enter learns from every encounter. He's gonna take this and see what went wrong, and it's going to be harder to do this again later.
I really hope Enter stays around for the entire series and he doesn't end up like just like a quarter series villain or something like that.
That would suck. At this point, I have a hard time seeing them getting rid of him so easily.
Yeah.
I expect him to just end up taking over.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's entirely possible.
I'm getting a Mega Ranger vibe from crazy head from crazy face guy in that just mostly shows up to yell.
So Ninja Rangers? If only.
The Enter Busters.
Oh shit.
Well, he does have the new Zord design.
Yeah,
yeah, but he doesn't have enough Enitron to actually get it.
Well,
made.
He does. It's just bad that Messiah is
being stingy.
Yeah,
Messiah is a boss.
Messiah is Messiah.
Messiah is a manager, basically.
We need more productivity with less money.
Except he doesn't have the hair.
But anyway, now that Enter's gone, it's what's driving time.
Yep.
As they go to actually get in their machines and, you know, some shit up.
And
they switch to beast mode, and
it's a fight, I guess.
Maximize!
Well, I actually thought it was a better fight than what we've been getting the last couple episodes, because it actually was a fight. Isn't it?
But, yeah. I mean, even still, it's just kind of, it's kind of like the necessary thing that you have to do every episode in this one. It's just like, okay.
Well, okay, like, there's the part where Ace's cheetah mode and the rabbit are double teaming the one Bugzord. You know, I mean,
you said double teaming.
I did. And, you know, that was pretty cool looking.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, there was more interesting stuff going on in this fight than there has been with the GoBugzord.
Especially last week.
Yeah.
Y'all had that whole
banana missiles. Yay.
Hey. Right. Banana missiles actually do something this time. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, they're actually doing stuff with the individual components, which is amazing after the combination's introduced.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not to the quality of the first five episodes.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still doing a lot.
See,
we need Sakamoto directing everything forever.
I guess.
I wouldn't even be kind of disappointed, except it was like the first five or six episodes and not just the first two. It's like, if it was just the first two and then they went, then I thought, like, I'd be like, okay, I understand. But it's like, you know, you go half a dozen episodes and it's like you get used to that. And then go Buster. And then,
yeah. No, I mean, I
do like how the Zords pose for the explosion at the end of the fight, though.
Yeah.
And speaking of clusterfuck combinations, have you all seen the combination for Beat and Stagbuster's mechas? I forgot to mention that in the news.
No, that was like 2 weeks ago.
Was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I just saw them up at Big Bad. And
welcome to 2 weeks ago.
I don't remember us discussing that 2 weeks ago.
I don't think you were here
2 weeks ago.
I was here 2 weeks ago. I just wasn't here last week.
Well, maybe we
welcome to
about
last
week.
Weren't you in the bathroom half the time 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, you only came in halfway through.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Fail.
But yeah, I worry about the same thing because it's like Beat Buster's mecha looks awesome in robot mode until it's combined with Stags.
Oops.
Yeah.
Just like Ace.
Yeah.
Sad.
Well, are Beat Buster's legs half as wide as the combination's boots?
Well, no.
Nine twice as wide?
Neither is the suit actor one.
Okay, but anyway. So back at the base. Yoko and Usada have a new, better understanding of each other, while Hiromu takes Operator Dude to task for his awful impersonation of him. And then the commander gets it for doing Yoko's homework for her.
What can't a teenage girl convince somebody to do?
But she just wanted some example problems done.
Sure.
And they start bickering about it again, and then Usada just falls over.
Well, that's about all he has left to do this week. And next week, stuff happens.
Ah, oh, finally.
Oh,
I say that, and it's only been like one episode where it's just kind of like there.
Look, this episode had a lot of stuff happen.
Yeah.
It was awesome stuff.
Yeah.
The episode was really entertaining. I mean,
it was entertaining, but it's just like, I don't know.
I enjoyed this episode a lot more than I have the last three or four.
I guess.
It's a step in the right direction, at least.
Yeah. And next week, the mecha fight looks like it, even though it's like, you know, set, it looks like it's good set.
Well, and that helps.
However, it also has GoBuster King.
Well.
Can't
but it also has Hiromu's sister. Oh. Bitching out Nick. Oh.
Again?
Well, everybody does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but her it makes her seem like more of a bitch than anybody else.
Yeah, she's fresh out of the hospital and she's back to take over Hiromu's life again.
Oh, yay!
Yeah.
back to
Grace.
I did like the oh yeah, Hiromu's a dick moment too, where right there at the end where he's like, so I want to talk to you about your impersonation skills. He's like, oh, were they good? No, they were terrible.
That was great.
Well, it's like Hiromu's a dick, but he's a different kind of dick than, say, Tsukasa or Tendo. He's just, it's a unique kind of dickishness.
He's like, I'm a dick, but I'm trying to help you.
No, he's not even doing that.
No, Tendo is the dick that's trying to help you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's just a dick because he doesn't know he's a dick.
He's a dick that just tells the people the worst thing possible.
I don't think he even realizes.
Yeah, he's the oblivious dick.
It's not like Tsukasa who revels in it.
Or me.
It's like he's trying to have a conversation.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
XV
I'd like to engage you in a conversation about how much you suck.
Yes, XV is Tsukasa.
And then he's surprised almost when people get mad. He's like,
yeah, Hiromu has no idea that he is a dick. He's completely oblivious to that fact.
And despite how many times
he belongs on the internet, really.
Yeah. Like, Nick tells him every time, he's like, dude, stop being a dick. And he's like, what?
I'm just speaking plainly.
No, it's like Nick says, dude, stop being a dick, and then Hiromu says back, hey, Nick, stop sucking.
Try sucking less. I've tried sucking less by chance.
God.
All right, so we're going to take a break, and we will come back and talk about Akiba Ranger.
Superhero Time, the internet's best tokusatsu podcast about Pokemon, Star Trek, Transformers, and your mom.
Welcome once again to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee.
Legendary sequence has been initiated.
It's morphin' time!
It's morphin'!
Tokume Sentai Go Busters has unfortunately lost some of the momentum after its exciting premiere, but for the most part I am enjoying this series. The writing has more depth than I expected, and the Go Busters as characters are pretty entertaining. Regrettably, the same cannot be said for the merchandise this year. The next two Buster machines have hit shelves, and spoiler alert, they're not quite what I expected. Let's take a look at the new set of GT-02 and RH-03.
1, 2, 3, 1, let's go!
First up, 02 is operated by Blue Buster and his buddy Roid. Horisake Banana. Yes, Banana. Horisake's toy, much like Nick from the first set, is a header mounted on a Ranger key base. Not that remarkable. The main body of GT-02 is a massive tanker truck, which can also carry the weaker Zord, which I'll get to in a moment. And the tanker can combine with Horisake to form Blue's Gorilla Zord. And the transformation from tanker to gorilla form is much more difficult than I expected. I haven't seen a parts former quite this bad in a long time. Gorilla Zord is almost completely immobile, and its most entertaining feature from the show, the explosive banana missiles, cannot be replicated in plastic form. So this Zord is a big step down from Go Buster Ace, lacking the easy and functional transformations that made the first Buster machine so enjoyable. The optimism I had for this line is somewhat diminished. And to hammer that point home even more, let's move on to RH-03. This is the yellow Buster machine, operated by Usada Lettuce, who doesn't even get the minimal transformation features that Nick and Gorosaki's toy representations received. Big surprise, Japan cut out features for the girl. 03's vehicle mode is a helicopter, and in this case the necessity of the Buddyroid cockpit is horribly obvious. Basically half the helicopter is hollowed out when Usada's unattached. On the other hand, the beast mode is probably a first for Super Sentai, the Rabbit Zord. Featuring a much easier transformation and a much more visible link between the forms, 03 is nowhere near as good as Ace, but definitely closer to where I think the Zord for this series should have been. Last, and in this case definitely least, is the combination. Gorilla and Rabbit combine with Ace to form the King of Buster Machines, Go Buster O. The fusion of elements here is fairly creative. Every piece of the Buster Machines is required for the combination, and the connection between machines is stable and still allows for a fair amount of Megazord-grade articulation. However, visually, the combination is a mess. The eccentric kibble resulting from Gorosaki alone is enough to throw off the unity of the design, while Rabbit's weak arms don't match the required superior fighting force image we would usually expect from this sort of combo. Ultimately, Go Buster O is a bit of a letdown for me. There were obviously some good creative ideas with this series, but for some reason they've been crushed under the traditional Super Sentai mecha tropes. Mildly recommended for fans, and by no means a priority for anyone. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time!
That dude's hand is a cow.
We've established this.
He gets better, though.
It's time for Power Playback on Superhero Time.
So this week, instead of a normal Power Playback, we're going to be talking about Akiba Ranger, or at least the two episodes of it we have subbed. Well, what can you do?
Well, because subbing this show is a very fun process, it seems.
And by fun, you mean arduous?
Yes!
That's okay. The word. This was kind of Mickey's thing, but he couldn't be here with us this week, so, shit.
Well, there's still, what?
Yeah, exactly.
There's still another 10 or so episodes of it left, at least.
Alright, so Ken, why don't you talk about Akiba Ranger for us? You'll be our substitute Mickey.
That does not sound like something that can go wrong at all.
So, okay, we'll have Paladin talk about it then. That'll go a lot better.
Anyway, Akiba Ranger. What we have here to start with is our hero, Akagi Nobuo.
I hope this doesn't go like the Garo thing.
We'll use that word lightly, by the way.
Yeah.
We have our main character.
He is a he is our main character. That is accurate.
POV character.
He is a Super Sentai otaku in the highest degree. But despite his delusions, he is just a delivery boy.
He's like guy with 10 times the brain damage.
Yeah, basically. However, he, in addition to being a Super Sentai otaku, he is also a, what is the word? Moe for the exact
race. Well, that's one word for it.
For this Strike Witches / Buso Shinki knockoff that exists in the world called Aoi Ten. And yes, this is actually important to note. But he's also interested in this girl who will not give him the time of day. And yes, I am blazing right through this because otherwise I am going to stop explaining every little joke and that will be keep us here all night.
Yeah.
Thank
After not stopping a mugging, wherein the mugged woman actually just throws her bike at the at said mugger, or
no,
his bike.
Throw his bike at him after he falls off trying to help her.
I think he falls down the stairs.
Yeah.
Well, that's a key point because he keeps
having these delusions of being this great superhero.
Yeah. Usually you'll see him jump into action and do something heroic, and then he wakes up on the ground in this like dream state.
Like
and
the
really
very,
nothing has
the
happened.
Very end episode or with the girl he likes or with the mugger. But he is being watched by a mysterious woman who offers him a job as an Akiba Ranger to fight to create a peaceful future for mankind.
Well, I love it. Oh, my God. Anyway,
really? This is... And then the opening narration of the first episode is funny because it's like, we're really not sure what this is about, but it might be, you know, about Akibahara's three-man Sentai team. Maybe. Possibly. Perhaps. And you have to stop.
As soon as we can find the script, we might begin the show.
Yes. And you have to kind of stop and talk about the opening theme's lyrics for a moment.
Do we have to?
It's interesting. It's bash your head into a keyboard as you crash
bash your head into something.
Yeah.
I can't stand that theme song.
Very. I think that's the point, actually. I legitimately think that's the point. But moving on to the actual show, he and this schoolgirl behind him are being inducted into the Keeper Rangers.
And this is probably the only fun part. Look around the room and see if you can spot all the Sentai merchandise.
Well, not quite there yet. Because they have not found the... yet they're Yellow, who he assumes must have Yellow in her name, which I assure you this must be funnier in Japanese, that particular joke.
Well, yeah, because he's Akagi. The other one's...
Aoki.
Yeah.
I blame cancer.
So it would kind of make sense.
Ijima is nowhere near this. Who they find after Aoki is illegitimately kind of freaked out that he's 29 years old and such an otaku.
Maybe that's why I feel bad about this show.
Too close to home?
I like how they keep mentioning that, and I keep thinking back to GoBusters, and Ryuji's 28. It's like they specifically said, like, okay, we have to make him just a year older than the oldest person in GoBusters. But who they find is
a furry.
Yeah.
But I get the feeling, though, from that, even it was kind of like, you know, you get the, there's this initial sense where she's like really, you know, thought hard and put this team together, but then she just grabs somebody, and I get the feeling it's more of like, we're the three closest people that she could con into like giving this stuff to.
Yeah, basically so.
It seemed far more thoughtful than I think it really was.
Yeah, I think that's the point. But it's like Akagi's like, are she serious? Because even he's like, this doesn't.
Well, he thinks it's an acting job.
Yeah, at first he does, but then he's like, this doesn't seem.
Well, when he sees Akagi, he's more upset that it doesn't follow the pattern.
Yeah. Or,
The yellow's at the end of her name.
Yeah. Wait, and they take
very
her
concerned about the trip
into this cosplay cafe where they have all this merchandise from.
Called the secret base.
Yeah. Much of a secret. her name is Hakase. No, that's actually her name. Hakase Hiroyo, but yeah.
Man, this sucks so far.
This is a very hard show to summarize because it's like, let me sit here and explain jokes. Okay. Anyway.
In that case, maybe Fort Max should be doing it.
Yeah, sitting and explaining jokes is never actually funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Regardless, she presents their transformation devices, which is Aoi 10, who Aoki is a big fan of.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just watches it for the fights, though.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's what they all say. Anyway, they transform, and they end up in a stock Super Sentai set.
The Troll Warehouse.
Yes. Yeah. Because every time they transform, that's where they go. Stock Sentai sets. / Kamen Rider sets.
So they're going to travel back in time to Edo at some point, aren't they?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, God.
Assuredly. At least once. They get wrecking balls thrown at them. They see they have actual powers, supposedly. And he thinks that they're the 37 Super Sentai. Well, no.
No.
Yeah, about that. Kind of like, not really. This is sort of like,
you know, not really official.
You know that stuff that BotCon has made illegal to bring into the... You're kind of like that.
You're more of like an official
Super Sentai. Maybe not even super, but, you know.
Yeah, Sentai. You're a team, all right. Got that part down.
Yeah. So it's like, who are we fighting? We don't know. Huh?
Just go look around for someone that seems evil.
And they find some people cosplaying as Nai and Mare from Magiranger, who combine into a bug monster. What?
I don't think that's how that's supposed to work.
Yeah. And but then we see Miss Nazi Lady, who is apparently our villain of the series. Or something.
No, just a porn star posing as a villain.
Or hence the or something. Yeah, they transform.
That's fine, though, but tell us the monster's name.
Oh.
How is it pronounced again? What?
No.
No.
That's an unusual name for a monster.
It really just rolls right off the tongue, at least for them, but yeah. Sort of. It's on a business card, though, which is excellent.
The business cards are very necessary. Anyway, they transform again, go to another stock set, this time out in the mountains, and make an attempted roll call. Very.
Unfortunately, very... Akagi's really the only one who's into it.
Yeah, or has any idea how to really...
Well, Akita Yellow sort of halfway gets there.
She's at least excited to be there.
Yeah. Anyway, she calls the minions, the faceless corporate drones.
It's awesome.
And we see that their fight choreography in the show is actually pretty good, which is kind of my biggest surprise.
Yes, it's almost a shame the suits look fucking terrible.
I think they're hilarious.
You know? Myself. Especially in the next episode when Akiba Red creative use of his hair.
Well, and, I mean, even at that, I mean, come on. This series is not meant for kids, so it's got a
little... Oh, right. Good boys and girls don't watch that show.
No, it's got a little bit of a dirty edge, too, so they totally play with, like, the skirts flying up.
Especially after episode 3.
Yeah, I hear episode 3 is...
Bad Touch Monster.
Oh, nice.
Bad Touch Monster.
That's part of what's getting, you know,
and the monster, and in episode 3, the monster's name is basically
Yowie.
A bunch of ways of saying gay as
Wow.
No, he's right about that. I mean,
he's basically the gayest gay to ever gay.
Man.
That's basically his name. Effectively.
But I mean, even in their transformation, like, you know, their you know, nameplate logo thing goes right over the girl's tits, you know, and like,
oh yeah, speaking of that,
breasts, you know,
yeah, that was played in the third episode 3. But moving on to this episode, they fight the monster, get their ass kicked until Miss Nazi Lady gets cold because she's not wearing very much.
Yeah, there's not a lot left of the imagination.
And that gets worse next episode.
However, that's what Akagi was apparently supposedly waiting for. Whenever one of the anime commanders in Super Sentai says something like, you can take it from here, it always, without fail, triggers the flag for the Monster of the Week's defeat. Because in Super Sentai, power levels have no place.
Right.
Which is like the most useful thing that came out of either of the episodes we've seen so far.
Anyway, so they kick the monster's ass, blow him the hell up.
And Akagi's like, wait, he's going to become giant.
That was great. He's
and then
like,
they
wait for it
for hours.
Wait for it.
Quick, send out our mecha. We don't have a mecha.
Any second now.
What?
It's going to happen.
Skip to sunset.
Anyway, so day is one. He's like, oh, that was great. We have such great powers, and I'm such a good fighter. No, you're really not. What? That was
It was all a dream.
You didn't... Delusion? Grand delusion? Didn't tip you off?
And so episode 2 explains a little about what's going on.
Little being the key
Very
word.
Little.
No, it explains exactly what's going on.
Yeah,
they were out fighting absolutely nothing while the police took care of everything.
What's great is they're standing in the middle of, like, the sidewalk.
Just swinging away.
Like, retards.
Yes.
Awesome.
The police don't even react, though.
It's
Japan.
Where are they?
Yeah,
not just Japan.
They're
Japan
in Akihabara.
Japan is part of Japan.
Yeah, but... Akagi gets emo about that and runs off. He goes to sit in the parking deck where who should drive by him but...
Ban.
Ban's actor! Oh my god! What a coincidence!
And so it's time to go act like an idiot again!
Yes, after the girls have a disturbing moment where Yellow loses her ears and, oh my god, her voice.
She's a chain smoker, that one.
No shit.
It's like the reverse effect of Maki without the doll.
Yeah, no, what it is that Akiba Yellow is roughly it. She's basically Dr. Girlfriend.
Yeah. Anyhow, Akagi, well, he has this moment with Ban that ends up, well,
it's great because it's like, you know, calls out his
name. He might have a better partner than Hoji.
Aka Red. Oh, you know.
And then, Hoji, of course, being Deca Blue and, you know, partner thing for the uninitiated, being kind of a big thing in Deca Ranger. And he's like, no, sorry, I'm just wearing this for a Power Rangers SPD conference. Because at this time, this was being filmed and probably still airing right now, is Power Rangers SPD, dubbed by the Deca Ranger cast.
Yeah. And there was even some event that they did where they were in their Deca Ranger outfits.
Yeah, so this is basically right before that, he got accosted by a creepy Sentai fan.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It's great hearing Power Rangers dropped in that. Like,
but thanks for being a fan, though.
Security.
Anyhow, speaking of creepy fanboys, Blue and Yellow come across a pirated version of Aoi Tan's
DVDs.
Art DVD thing, which is creepy enough as it is, except, well,
it has a bubble filter.
Yeah.
That you can remove to that you can put on and then remove to expose everything.
Yeah.
That's one magic filter looks like right there.
Naked.
Except when they try to do that, well,
yeah, everything comes off
of them. Mm. So, various naked creepy Japanese fanboys
with giant bubble filters.
Yeah.
Thanks for censoring.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Toei. We appreciate that very much in this instance.
And they even had to blur out some stuff.
Shit.
That
the bubble filter didn't cover.
I do not want to see the DVD version.
I don't think anyone does.
Oh, I'm sure the DVD version would be similarly censored.
Actually, yeah, it would, because Japan has a thing about...
Even apparently, that thing.
Exactly.
From what I've heard, that thing does not apply to Blu-ray.
Really?
You need to get some Japanese Blu-ray porn, because then that won't be censored.
Thank you for informing us of this.
Hey, at least he's the one who made the joke. I'm pretty sure we were all thinking that.
Okay. This section chief looks exactly like the last one.
And what is the section chief's name?
Oh.
He looks completely different. No, he looks almost exactly like the last one. There's one big difference, but he ain't telling.
His name is.
What?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Pretty close.
Basically, the first guys are just very long name for a couple for different types of bugs.
Yeah, I know, but that's not funny. Anyhow, the girls proceed to fight face the corporate drones, and then he starts explaining his plan.
Get better Dyron Rod use than we did in Gokaiger.
That's actually true and kind of sad. Anyway, Monster cops a field, kicks the girls' asses, sends them crying back, and they were told that they f***ed up.
Of course, they're the girls.
Whenever a villain says, "Before you die, I'll tell you this," that's a trigger sign to kill them.
Duh.
Don't you watch these things? I mean, good lord. Anyhow, Akagi goes to toss the god-awful morpher into the river when he's suddenly greeted by Deca Red. A very mute Deca Red.
Yeah.
A very mute stunt suit Deca Red.
That's not important right now, Fort Max.
Yeah. Anyhow, Deca Red drop kicks him, showing him that he's not an illusion. Oh my god.
Just like he did in the one episode with
Yes.
With the crane guy.
The crane guy.
And Hakase's like,
the crane guy from Voyager, I think.
Yes, the crane guy from Droidger.
No, that's the salamander guy.
Oh, the salamander crane guy, yeah.
You know,
There was something my dad used to tell me in situations like this. What was it? Go f*** yourself.
Moving along, Hakusei's like, now that just proves you're so much closer to being an official Super Sentai. Uh-huh.
Wait, what? Right.
What?
That they, yeah, he evidently met a quote-unquote real Decared.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically that. But apparently it's just a dude that she hired.
A dude that is probably actually Decared's suit actor.
Probably. Yeah, but before they head out to fight What's-Her-Face
and
again.
And the best part is it's probably not much compared to what you usually get. You're right. It's not much.
Did you I don't know if it was as clear in episode one, but in episode two, it definitely becomes clear that this is like a fanboy hangout or something of some sort.
The cosplay cafe, yeah.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah, and they're like hanging out here and like, I don't know. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, what we need to get to here is the new toy.
Machine Ishtar.
Itasher.
Itasher, whatever. I don't give a shit.
It's an alternator.
Yeah, but it's painted up with Alitan.
Well, no. See, it's Japan, so it's actually a Binaltech.
Ah.
Or, given the way the rest of the show is going, it very well could be a KISS player.
God.
God. We're gonna get like the girls vomited up out of it. Mm. Naked.
Yeah.
Ballast tongues.
I don't doubt it. Anyhow, it transforms and then they have to move through traffic. Tiptoe through traffic. Then jump up on a railroad and get chased by a train.
They're really not doing too well so far.
No. Well, luckily they kind of got the hint and rode the train the rest of the way there. However, in spite of trying to look,
so basically they
now,
got in a car.
The best part is that they activate its transformation by playing the transformation music on from a CD.
And not really.
So basically, they got into a car which turned into a robot which went and rode a train to take them to where they needed to go to fight
instead of driving.
This doesn't sound awesome to you? I don't understand.
Oh, boy. Mm. Yes, but the robot ends up running off because their delusion is not great enough to have a fancy mecha.
It's too early in the series to do the mecha thing.
Yeah, apparently.
Or it's just funny to watch the giant robot run away.
So yeah. They switch to another stock set, this being the docks. Those docks. Always the same docks.
Yeah, with the...
Basically, there a crane?
You saw yeah. Yep, there's a crane.
No, not the crane. It's a shovel.
Well, you saw it last week when they did their roll call in Gokai versus Gavin.
Yeah.
Right.
They almost pulled a roll call off this time. Akiba blew it up.
Of course, it's the girl.
I love the explosions go off, and he like tries to stand there really still and still doesn't, but the girls are like, oh, God!
This is what would happen if explosions erupted behind you after you shot the name. Like, oh, Willie, what the f***? Anyhow, another actually pretty decent fight between the Akiba Rangers and the corporate drones. Actually, a very good fight, honestly. Until he shows up in the fight, which includes more groping.
Yeah,
always the groping.
Mm-hmm.
And a bubble filter.
Was there any bubble filter here?
Yeah,
That was the earlier fight.
Yeah, that was the earlier fight. Anyway, Decared shows up, actually talking this time, in Bond's voice. It seems like it is the actual Decared.
Oh, hey, they paid him for the whole episode.
Yeah.
Right.
He still has a fig of art to sell.
Yeah. They beat the shit out of you, and then Decared final form rides into Decaranger Robo's handcuffs.
The Deca Whopper?
Yes. So, Akiba Red then beats the f*** out of you and then throws the handcuffs on him and then they shoot him because evidently even an unofficial Sentai can use official products.
All right.
And
Well, those are just add-on goods for the official products. So,
right.
That's fine.
But he, Akagi is happy that he actually got to meet the apparently actual Deku Red, while Hakase is very confused because, what the f***ing hell, that wasn't supposed to happen. And then next episode, it is Gaylord.
Okay. Blade Run of the Hard Gay.
Yeah, that's who he looks like.
Wow.
This is a great series.
It is fantastic, I actually think. It's like terrible trying to summarize it, because summarizing comedy is...
I mean, it's one of those, it's a very, in joke. I mean, like I said, obviously I've not been around very long, but I've been around long enough that this is funny.
Yeah, it's like, of course, you know Power Rangers better, and then like the Power Rangers SPD thing comes like out of nowhere.
Yeah. But it's damned funny. I mean, I know the first episode I was laughing pretty hard, so.
Yeah.
Even with the SPD Deca Ranger name drops, I didn't like it that much.
It was a lot. I really went into it with really, really low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been enjoying it a lot more than I ever expected. So it's an enjoyable enough thing.
It's probably, you know, proportional to how close it hits the home, you know?
Maybe.
Can you laugh at yourself?
Yes, I can laugh at myself.
No.
Because
no.
there really are fans like Akagi.
There are fans like
whatever her BL's name is.
There are some people who are so dedicated that they do a weekly podcast.
What kind of losers would do that? I mean, shit.
Fortunately, our show is a lot better than theirs.
Yeah, I know, right? Yes, the next episode is very much, it kind of proves the tagline of good girls and boys should not stay up for this. So much bad touch.
I'm excited.
Poor
yeah,
Kage.
JD is all about the bad touch.
Oh, yeah.
He's all about the hard gay.
That's, yeah. Bring it on.
The scarf bondage.
Oh, you've seen it on the internet.
What haven't you seen on the internet?
It's true.
Interestingly, though, they do get Akashi's voice actor back next week, at least. Or this week, I should say. So, it also has a pretty decent budget for what I... In decent direction, it's a lot more effort put into it than I actually expected for what I was anticipating.
Yeah, for being unofficial, it's surely got a lot of official stuff in it.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
Hmm.
And they're, like, getting figure arts, too.
And the, car. I'm not buying that car. Car.
Man, that thing would have to be pretty expensive, too.
God.
Is it supposed to be compatible with the figure arts?
I hope not. That thing would cost a fortune.
It.
You know, imagine how big a car would be to fit a figure art and then transform into a robot.
I'm just saying, that would actually make me tempted slightly, sure. Except unless if I get it, only if I could get it in another paint scheme.
Sure,
yeah,
you repaint.
That's probably not going to happen.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I don't really know what to think of Akiba Ranger yet. The first two episodes are just kind of like, huh?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be watching more.
Aww.
I'm going to have to keep watching it until I decide one way or the other.
Well,
it's only going to be 12 episodes.
Yeah, it's not very long, so it's not much of an investment to watch it anyhow.
Mm. Yeah, it's not like sitting through...
It's like 12 episodes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's easy, man.
Yeah, it's not like it's Ghost Ager.
Yeah.
Yeah, you watch Ghost Ager. I mean, come on. 52 episodes?
Ugh.
49?
At least he didn't watch the movie.
Why the f*** did I go back and watch that movie?
You watched the Returns movie?
No, not that movie.
Oh.
Talk about the actual movie.
The Wonder movie?
The theaters movie. The one that was with Double Forever.
So probably the best thing out of Ghost Ager, because it's the shortest.
No, actually, I think it went over 49. I think it went at least 50. Because I remember I was watching the last couple episodes on streams, waiting for Gokaiser, you know, watching O's on streams also. And I was like, okay, episode 49, this has got to be the last one. It ended, and there's an episode preview. I'm like, what the f***? Really? Why does it always come back to Ghost Sager?
Because that's just the curse that's left with us. Yeah.
I always go back to Double for the good things, and I always go back to Ghost Sager for...
Not.
Ghost Sager.
F***ing Ghost Sager. Alright, so we're not going to be here next week. What should we do after that?
Well, first you should fix your audio quality.
I'm fine, don't worry about it.
It's your audio quality that's probably in question then, if his is fine, because he's recording it on his end.
What?
Is his audio quality okay?
Sounds okay here.
Hmm.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Let me hold up my finger and check.
Nice! And point.
Bet I can guess which finger he's holding up.
Do you wish we were a video podcast?
Nope.
Very rarely. I think once was enough for that.
Yeah.
It was certainly enough for live. And this is the part where JD reveals he's been secretly broadcasting us the entire time.
All right. Now go cook that tuna.
But yes, what should we do when we come back from our BotCon break?
That is a good Mom? Question.
No, we always do that.
No, I'll say, I guess we're all through all the movies now, aren't we?
Well, until Megamax gets subbed.
That'll be next month. In about a month. So.
Really?
Yeah, the DVD comes out next month, so the rental Raw will probably be out in a couple weeks.
Actually, we don't even need something for the next show, because we can just use the time to catch up on the week we missed.
Yeah, because we'll have two episodes of everything.
Yeah,
assuming everything gets subbed on time.
Eh, probably.
Well, so far it has been.
Yeah, it's only those couple of weeks that we hit those hiccups.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we still won't have any news, though.
Well, we got 2 weeks to build some up. So.
That's encouraging.
Plus, we can spend some time on that show talking about how BotCon was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I look forward to
that. We're going to have 2 weeks of stuff Fun Pub did.
Actually, and he'll be able to spend time, talk about the time that we spend together. XV will be able to give vivid details of the exact fragrance of my farts. Excellent.
Yes. I'll bring a notepad so I can, commit those memories while
just write down adjectives.
Yeah.
Essence of death.
You know, while it's still fresh in the air, I want to make sure to get the most accurate description possible.
Oh, boy.
And not have any of that quality lost over the couple weeks while I'm recovering.
That's right.
Yes. I'm wondering how the third-party parts party stores and hotel rooms will turn out.
I'm hoping that I actually go to, a third-party party and what I don't end up in some sort of weird fan orgy or something. Okay, maybe I do hope I end up in a weird fan orgy, but I hope I make it to the third-party party as well.
Shit.
Well, remember, JD, it's BotCon, so 99% of that fan orgy will be dudes. If you're okay with that, whatever.
Transcon 3-4.
But think about but if you close your eyes, I don't think you'd be able to tell the difference. So.
JD.
Is that more insulting to the guys or the girls? Probably the girls.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it just depends what you tend to do with the girls.
Well, there's that. Ooh, boy, this is going way.
Well,
that's a dark place, didn't I?
It hasn't quite turned into a poop conversation yet, but
we had that. We had that earlier.
Well, it could.
We had that earlier. We even had the Walmart story.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, did that make it in the show though? I don't remember.
Just tack it on.
Well, it would. We were talking about Samurai at the time.
Yeah.
So more preferable to talking about Samurai is poop.
I think we've actually established that in the past.
Yeah, I think that's a clear theory right there.
Yeah.
I'm just reiterating it.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Whatever. All right. Well, I guess that's our show for this week. and, you know, stuff. But hey, if you're going to be at BotCon, come look for us.
Or run from us, however you feel.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. You know, Fort Max will be there. That's cool.
I get to meet Fort Max.
Wow. Got something in your throat there?
Just my joy.
I think you have that backwards.
Oh.
He has your mom backwards? Doesn't she charge extra for that?
Oh, he can afford it.
Not really. All right, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Exactly.
End of show. Heshim.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at Superhero_Time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
So anybody need to go and, like, walk off somewhere?
Yes.
Probably should stand up for a minute, at least.
I'm going to go get a little bit more to drink because my mouth is very dry because I had a lot of salt for dinner.
Yeah. I was about to say, you need to go get more to drink because this is Superhero Time. Like,
yeah, I'm
and
not Mickey.
And it's a Kiba Ranger.
That too.
I am not Mickey. I don't liquor up for the show.
Don't need
back to. In a second.
This is me naturally.
Oh dear God.
Superhero Time. 次回もお楽しみに。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.